I want to take just a minute this morning and talk to the women in this congregation, and I don't get a chance to do this very often. I don't have an excuse or a reason to do it. And you fellows who are here, you men who are here, you just kind of eavesdrop for a little bit. But I've got something I want to say to the women who are here. We had a meeting last night with our married children. Saturday night meeting. All three of our married children are home for this weekend, and two of them are getting ready to leave as soon as the service is over. Our son Tim and his wife Kathy are driving back up to Tifton, Georgia, where Tim is in school at Abraham Baldwin Agricultural School, and our daughter Bonnie, who has been here for a week, is expecting her first baby, will be flying back to Tulsa this afternoon to join her husband out there. And then our other married daughter, Robin, and her two little ones, and her husband, John Moore, who live here. And we all sat around our den last night for 2.5 hours and did what we used to do when, before the kids went off, before they got married and flew the nest. We had a Saturday night meeting, and for years we have, in the Buckingham household, have reserved our Saturday nights for family times, at least as long as the children were there, and have turned down other things that would have been interesting and exciting to spend those Saturday nights with the family. And we've had a lot of Saturday night business meetings, sitting there at in the home and discussing family things. And we did this again last night, Saturday night. And the three mothers, our two daughters and then our daughter-in-law, Kathy, who is very much part of our family, were there. And Jackie and I both, I think, began to have the same feeling that we wanted to tell these girls how proud we were of them. That as we have examined as grandparents, as we have examined their child raising, that we can't find any fault in it. We've looked. God knows we've looked. But we have not found any fault in what they're doing. We are extremely pleased with how they are raising our grandchildren, and how Bonnie is getting ready to raise our grandchild, who is appearing, approaching. And as we talked about this last night during our time together, there was a response from one of the girls, and I can't remember who, who says, "But Daddy, we're really not doing anything spectacular. It's just kind of the same old thing, day after day after day after day." And I thought, what woman doesn't feel that way? Men have that problem sometimes too, but I think women, more than men, have a problem with this day after day business. It's just the same old thing, over and over and over. And then I got to thinking, you know, I guess farmers feel that way, don't they? It's the same old thing, day after day. Here I am, going out this morning, milk the cow, shovel manure, feed the chickens, plant the crops. Next day it's the same thing all over again. Then the fall comes and I milk the cow and shovel the manure and feed the chickens and pick the crops. And then the spring comes and it's the same thing year after year after year. It's a terribly tedious situation being a farmer. And you don't think there's anything that happens. Put the seed in the ground, cover it up, it stays there. Go out, there's the corn on the stalk, pick the corn, knock the stalk down, start all over again. It's an endless circle. And yet, through that endless circle, and out of that endless circle, comes something called productivity. If it were not for the circle, there would be no productivity. And so farmers feel that way. Writers feel that way. I can testify, it's a terrible situation to be a professional writer, as I am. And it's the same thing. You go in, you sit down, you sit at the typewriter, you type, tear up the paper, throw it away. Put more paper into the machine, type some more. That's no good. Throw it away. And so your big stack of paper goes from here through the machine into the trash can, and a little stack of paper begins to grow over here of something that's worthwhile. And then the moment that's gone and that's published, you start all over again. And it's a constant cycle. And I say, when will it ever end? Is there no end? And I go back and I read that Solomon had the same thing to say. He says, to the writing of books, there is no end. And I say, oh, Lord, there must be an end someplace. And so farmers and writers, draftsmen go in and sit at their drawing board and they draw and they finish it. And the boss comes in and says, draw this. And they draw some more and then finish it. And the boss comes in and says, there's still more to be done. Architects go through the same thing. School teachers go through the same thing. Day after day after day, those same faces out there chewing bubble gum, spitting on the floor, poking the kids from behind, or worse. Surgeons go through the same thing. Remember a surgeon saying, if I have to see another appendix, I think I'll just die. Well, wait till you get out of the operating room before you do that, please. And so life goes on, round and round and round and round. And you don't seem to be accomplishing much. There's a passage of Scripture that I want to leave with you this morning from the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And it's a familiar passage, and many of you have read it time and time again from Jeremiah 18, beginning with verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. And so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. And so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Life, it seems, is a potter's wheel of circular quality. And here, God is saying to Jeremiah that the nation of Israel is like clay on the wheel of the potter, God being the potter, the nation being the clay, and life itself being this wheel. Some of you have seen the potter's wheel, which is run by a foot pedal. Now potters have gotten modernized, and they have electric switches which they can bump with their knee and turn it on and off or speed it up. But the old potter's wheel, which is a flat wheel that he sits in front of and runs it by pressing a foot pedal like an old spinning wheel. And the harder he presses, the faster it goes, and it turns around and around, and he places the clay, the wet clay that he gets out of a bucket, places it on that wheel and shapes it with his hands until it looks however he wants it to look, digging down inside of it, forming a vase, starting and stopping that wheel. And the picture that Jeremiah received was as a piece of clay that was marred at his hands. That somehow didn't fit right. Either the clay had an imperfection in it, or there was a rock in the clay, or there was something wrong with it, and the potter will take it off of the wheel, douse it in water again, soften it up, place it back on the wheel, manipulate it with his hands until it's soft and pliable, and then start the wheel turning again, round and round and round and round. And you think, oh my word, is that all life is? And the potter reaches and starts and starts and starts and starts, and life is an endless circle. And I'm thinking about you girls. You women. And I've never been one of you, and I don't think I ever will be, although there are ways in which that's done now, I understand, but I'm not inclined in that direction, so it doesn't appeal to me necessarily. But I think about the life of a woman. Now I know there's some of you who have broken the mold and you have gone off, but most of you will not do that. You will stay on the potter's wheel, and you will grow up, and you will marry, and you will have children, and And then your children will have children, and the process starts over and over and over and over again. And I said to my married daughters last night, and to my married daughter-in-law, I know it seems like it's an endless cycle, and you're not making any headway. But you're like the farmer; you're planting seeds, and it's the circular quality of life that makes it worthwhile. That's the thing that gives spice to it, that makes it productive and creative, that life is an endless circle. I remember reading Edna St. Vincent Millay years ago, life goes on forever like the gnawing of a mouse, and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow there's this little street and this little house. And yet it's the circular quality that gives it effectiveness. Our capacity and our skill to perform come through repetition. And I'm saying to you, don't fret about the repetition. Our daughter Robin, who has two little girls, one 3 and one almost 2, and she's become an expert at a number of things: changing diapers, feeding and cleaning and wiping and correcting and training. These things don't bother her anymore. And that's because she has been through it time after time after time. And our daughter Bonnie, who is expecting her first baby and saying, oh, I really want my mom to be there when the baby comes because I'm not sure I can handle this. Well, how do you learn to handle it? You learn to handle it by doing it. All of life is made up by learning by doing. And whether it's with a child or whether it's with prayer or whether it's with a job or whatever else it is, it's the doing that brings us into the performance skill. And I have learned that if we don't let our children have their experience, that they will never learn at all. But that's a painful kind of process. Several weeks ago, when our son Tim was here and his wife Kathy and little TJ, who was up here on the platform a few minutes ago trying to sing, and they were down here and they visited with us for a weekend, and they left to go back to Tifton, Georgia. Kathy is pregnant, just a few months pregnant, expecting her second. And on the way back, the car broke down. And they called us halfway down the highway. The car has broken down. Here they are with a carload of all their belongings going back up to school. Tim is supposed to register for the second quarter of school. And they've got the baby in the car, and the car is broken down. And everything inside of this daddy said, get on up the highway and help him out. And we said over the phone, no, just get the car fixed. Do the best you can. Get somebody to tow it in. Do something. And get on up to where you belong. You're big people now. You're adults. You're not kids anymore. And I hung up the phone and cried. And they called back the next day. They had finally gotten home, got the car towed in, got it fixed, spent the night along the road someplace, finally got up to Tifton. Soon as they got there, why, Kathy begins to miscarry this baby that she's got in her tummy, and they rush her to the hospital, and she's in the hospital, and she's going through a terrible kind of situation, and Tim is supposed to register for school that morning. A little TJ is homesick, and the car is not working, and it's a terrible situation. And I talked to him on the phone, and I talked to Jackie, and I said, we've got to do something. Can't, you know, the situation is crisis. It's tragic. We've got to do something. And she very wisely said, if they don't learn now, they'll have to learn later on. The only thing you can do is to stay here and pray. Now, if it's a life and death situation, then we will act. But right now, if you, Daddy, step in like you've always done, step in, then they will not reach the next level of maturity. It's the circular quality that makes life worthwhile, going through those rough places and walking through them. And so we stayed down here and did a lot of praying. And they worked it out up there. Kathy was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, and a whole lot of things happened in between. But they emerged on the other side. I didn't think they could. I didn't think they'd ever make it. I thought that was the end of that whole segment of the Buckingham family. They would just die up there. But they emerged, and when they sat there last night talking to us, after they had left, Jackie and I both said, boy, did you sense something that had happened in Tim and Kathy? They're no longer kids. They're man and woman. They're husband and wife. They're not children anymore. Something has happened. And I realized it was the walking through that tough place that had helped bring a lot of these things to pass. And so I say to you mothers and you women, you mothers-to-be, you young women, you older women, don't fret about the sameness of life. We serve a God who is in charge of the circles of life. He understands. And it really is new every morning, even though it seems to be the same. And so Paul, writing, says, from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view that it's just the same thing day after day. It's not. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we no longer do. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, and the new has come. And so even though it seems like you've been this way 100 times before, if you're in Christ, you don't make the same circle. You come back over it at a different level. It's an upward spiral. And you are moving from glory to glory to glory. That doesn't seem like it. You've changed a diaper 1,000 times. You've spanked that kid 100 times. You've told him not to do that over and over and over again. But you're making progress. You really are. And for each one of us who is coming back around again for another time, feeling the dig of the potter's hands in our side, the manipulation that's going on as he works and shapes and molds us, give God praise and give him glory. God is at work in these circular qualities of life, these circular aspects of life, and although it seems like you're doing the same thing, you really aren't. Your child is growing. Each time you spank him, each time you praise him, each time you feed him, each time you train him, it's new for him. Same old thing for you. But it's a new experience each time. And every time God does that to you, it's new to you. Now we may say, oh, I've been punished again for something God has told me about, but it's always a new experience. And so it is with your child. I don't know of any higher calling in life than the calling to be a parent, and especially the calling to be a mother. Now, I'm not prepared to say that all women are created to be mothers. I don't believe that. I think there's some women that God intends to be single. And I think there's some women that God intended to be single, but for one reason or another, they are not able to be mothers, and that God has a special blessing for those women, for those childless women, for those single women. I believe there are special areas of great blessing that God has set aside for them. But I think for the vast majority, this call of motherhood is the highest of all the callings that will ever come. I remember being in a store several years ago down here at Sears, and there was a woman who was standing at the counter who was filling out a credit application, and her husband was standing there with her. And the clerk, or whoever it was saying, "What do you do?" And she said, "I'm a mother." And she said, "No, I mean, what kind of work do you do?" And the husband, who was standing beside her, says, "She doesn't work, she's a mother." She's only a mother. And I came away thinking, only a mother. It's the highest of the callings, it's the greatest of the works. And you may not be producing automobiles, or you may not be sending a rocket to the moon. You may not be going to keeping a teaching schedule at school, but to pour your life into a child and to endue that child with the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And on the circular quality of life, day after day after day after day, to prepare and to train and to correct, there's no higher calling, for God is in the people business.
God is not in the product business. He's in the people business. And so I encourage you in my kind of once a year encounter into motherhood, I encourage you, stick with it. Stick with it. It's awful tough going, and there's always a tendency to scream and say, stop the world, I want to get off, enough of this stuff. Only a mother. Our daughter Bonnie, who has been pursuing her career in Tulsa as an artist, and made a quality decision several months ago that she had to decide about the calling in her life. She's trained as an artist. She's a very good artist. She has her college degree in art and has a very good job. And she made a quality decision that God had called her to be a mother. And it was time to get on with that calling. And so she has deliberately laid aside this, what the world calls a career, to move into what I believe God calls a calling. Now, I think the career will be reestablished later on, but the calling is always higher than the career. And so God has a calling. He has a calling for each one of you women who are here. He has a calling for each man who's here. A calling on his life. A calling on her life. Determine what it is. And then don't ever settle for the career. Move on to the calling. And even if it seems like it's always the same thing day after day, because it's new every day, and because we're new creatures in Christ, it'll be glorious. I'd like for you to pray with me. In the deep areas of our hearts, Lord, where we rebel against you as clay would rebel against the hand of the potter, mold us and soften us again, O Lord. And we'll not be afraid of the repetitions of life. That we'll look forward to tomorrow, knowing that each new day brings with it wonderful and beautiful challenges. Lord, I ask a special blessing upon the moms of this congregation and the grandmothers. I ask a special blessing upon the single women in this congregation, Lord, especially those who yearn for children and who have not been able to have them or who have been separated from them. I pray that you meet the desire of the heart of each one of these, your children. That your grace that Jimmy sang about just a few minutes ago, Lord, will be not only sufficient, but it'll be overflowing and abundant in every way. Lord, we give thanks this morning in a special way for those who have been responsible for nurturing our lives. I want to thank you in a special way for my own godly mother, and that you have answered her prayers in my behalf. And Lord, I pray that I might be the parent to my child, my children, my grandchildren, that you would have me to be. A prayer that I voice for each one in this congregation, Lord, that we become a family. Family of brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters. The family of God. Holy Spirit, move now, right now, in these moments, deep in our lives. Show us what our calling is, our high calling. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be special in your life as you go. May the power of the Holy Spirit give you strength to walk this day, wings to fly as eagles, feet to run as hinds' feet across the tough places of life. May the love of God Meld your heart to those who are around you. And may the peace of God accompany your footsteps. In the name of Jesus, amen.